You need to open up and allow the sword of God's Spirit, the Word of God, to penetrate your heart. And so if you are hardened and unrepentant, you are in a dangerous, dangerous place. Now, if God is convicting you in His grace, He can change you if you're willing to be changed.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And today we continue our look at the parable of the sower, and you're going to make some very interesting observations.
Yes, Dave, we will. So let's get right to our passage. Turn with us to Matthew chapter 13, and we're looking at verses 18 to 23 in preparation for our study in Nehemiah chapter 8.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. They got God in human flesh right next to them, and they can see and they can hear, and they can perceive, and they're blessed because they can. And so at this point, we come to the explanation concerning the parable of the sower. And like I shared, I will share the explanation, and then I'll go back and read the actual parable back earlier in the chapter, okay? So notice here in verse 18, hear then, because you can hear, because your eyes are open and your ears are open and you are blessed, hear then, listen to, hear then, therefore, the parable of the sower. And so now let's look at the explanation. Notice, he says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one in whom seed was sown beside the road. And the one whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary, for the occasion only. You could say it that way. And when affliction and persecution arise because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one from whom seed was sown among thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and its deceitfulness of riches choke, squeeze out the word completely, and it becomes unfruitful. Or literally, it is continually unfruitful. And the one whose seed was sown in the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it and indeed bears fruit and brings forth some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. So he says, here then, hear the parable of the sower. Hear the parable of the sower. And I want to share a couple things initially, just breeze through these. You have them on your notes. You can look at them later on or make notes now if you need to. There's a couple initial things. There's a lot of different interpretations concerning the parable of the sower. And I think if we understand the context of some of these points, it'll help us understand more clearly this parable. But first of all, the most obvious, there is four types of soil, right? And they represent four types of hearers of the word, when represent four hearts, the hearts of the soil, four types. That's pretty clear, right? And then we have, secondly, the issue at hand in this context is salvation. We know it very clearly. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. I'll read this. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God, and those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they might not believe and be saved. Has to do with salvation. That's in Luke chapter 8, okay? It's salvation. We see it's also the word that is sown by God. God is the one who brings it forth through his servants. Verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, and it's God's word. Middle of 20, the man who hears the word. Middle of 22, this man hears the word. Middle of 23, this is the man who hears the word and understands it. The issue is about the word of God and the heart response. You see, God's word is powerful. God's word is able to bring forth from death to life. It is the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And yet God, as we will see, will not use his piercing word to pierce through the hardness if people are unwilling to obey. one passage that I thought of and it came up to me was in John chapter 7. In John 7, 16, Jesus therefore answered them and said, "My teaching is not mine, but he is who sent me. If any man is willing to do his will," that means to obey him. "If any man is willing to do his will, he shall know the teaching, whether it is from God or whether I speak for myself." You're going to know that that truth is from God if it's from the Lord, right? If you're willing. The issue is a willing heart. And so then, we understand that this is about salvation, and then we know the word is sown, and it does reach hearts. It reaches all four hearts. The question is, what happens in that interaction, okay? It reaches all of them, right? And we also know that it is ultimately whether it is truly understood in its context, whether it does affect that person. You see, we see that Satan snatches it away and they don't understand. We see the one in whom produced fruit, they understood. Now, the reality is if someone truly understood, they're going to burn in hell forever and ever and be tormented. Don't you think they'd turn to Christ? Well, they have things that come, and because they have chosen to reject the Lord and harden our hearts, other things come in. Satan will do that and steal that away. Still, it said they don't hear it. They don't get it, right? We're going to see. Or we have riches choking things out, or worries. Or we have someone who just is in it for the moment. For the moment, the momentary reality. That's what Jesus is about. We're going to see all of those things are extremely eternally dangerous. Now, we also see fruit is the evidence. It talks about bearing fruit in verse 23. Bears fruit. And lastly, again, I mentioned it already, it has to do with understanding. So then, hear then the parable of the sower. This is for those who have ears that can hear and eyes that are open that haven't been personally hardened through unbelief, personally hardened by rejecting the truth, personally hardened by staying in your sin. It's for those who can hear. So then, notice first of all, go back down to the first one, and this is in the middle of verse 3, back to the actual portion in the parable. "Behold, a sower went out to sow," middle 3, "and he sowed, and some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up." That's the parable. Sower went out to sow, and some of the seeds fell down on the road, and the birds came, took them away, right? Well, the reason why they took them away, they were easy food. It didn't penetrate. They weren't sown into the soil. They were sitting on the road, on the compacted soil. We understand that, but what does it mean spiritually? This is what Jesus says in verse 19. "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road." The reason implied why they don't understand it is because they have a hard heart. The seed is not penetrating the heart. It's like the seed on the road. It is compacted. Roads in those days were compacted, and the seed is on top. And it doesn't penetrate, and therefore the birds come and take it away, right? But here he talks about them not understanding it. There is no understanding. The term I mentioned earlier means the coming together of two rivers. It speaks of thoroughly understanding. And here there's no understanding. The truth is not understood with the hardened, unrepentant heart. Now, there may have been a time when they did understand it and they rejected it because they loved their sin. Or whatever else it might be. But when the heart is hard, it leaves it to the point where it does not penetrate the heart. And we see what Satan does. What Satan does is he steals it away. It says here, "And the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed who's sown beside the road." The term snatches means forcibly grabbed. He forcibly grabs the truth away. So we saw this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that God allows the God of this world to harden the minds of the unbelieving. And so they hear the truth, but then all of a sudden, Satan comes in with his lies. And the truth is stolen right away because it didn't penetrate. And how does he do that? He does it through certainly outright deception and lies. No, God didn't say that. There's no judgment. God didn't, whatever it is, you know, outright sexualized or through false teachers that he has that are his servants who come alongside and take that truth in a sense and pull it away and substitute a truth that does not save. So then, he says here, the parable of the sower, and so here, this is the danger. If you have a hard, unrepentant heart, the truth is not going to penetrate. You are not open to hear it. It's like we saw in John chapter 7. Those who are willing to obey, those who want to obey, God is ready to go. They understand God's word, right? You need to open up and allow the sword of God's spirit, the word of God, to penetrate your heart. And so if you are hardened and unrepentant, you are in a dangerous, dangerous place. Now, if God is convicting you in his grace, he can change you if you're willing to be changed. Like with the Israelites, we see in the book of Ezekiel. I'll read it for you. Ezekiel chapter 36 talks about the Israelites when they get saved. He says, moreover, I will give you, verse 26, a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit within you, and I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. You see, our heart condition determines how we receive the word of God. And when we have voluntarily, like the Israelites, hardened our hearts through sinfulness and unrepentedness, we're not going to hear the word of God, and we're going to be easily deceived about what came and hit us and didn't go in, right? We need to be careful. Now, for us as believers, a secondary application is, if you got sin in your life, if you have allowed through the deceitfulness of sin to take you captive through your own desires, then you're not going to hear God's word. You're going to come here every Sunday. If you do not put aside all malice and all that remains of wickedness, if you don't confess that, you're not going to hear the word of God. You could come here week after week after week, and if you have sin in your life that is unconfessed, you're not going to hear the word of God. And it just may be that maybe you never were saved. You need to examine yourself. But we as believers, we can get hardened in sin. We're to take care, brethren, and encourage one another as long as it's called today, lest we be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You get an attitude towards somebody, you don't confess your anger or whatever it is, whatever, you get hardened, you're going to come to church, you're not going to hear it. Satan's going to distract, he's going to pull it away, right? Now, certainly that's for non-believers, but the principle certainly applies. Hard heart, right? You're not going to understand. You're not going to get it. For those of you who aren't saved, cry out for God's mercy. Help me to hear your word. Help me to see my sin that I might repent. It's a prayer that God will answer if it comes from the heart. You cry out to the Lord. You want to be changed. You want to be saved. Not for, as we'll see in a moment, a temporary change that has to do with this life only. You want to be saved. You know you are a sinner. So then, we have the first group of people, those with the hardened hearts, and this is concerning the gospel, but we have principles for us, as I mentioned, right? So if you're coming to church and you're wanting to understand the word of God, if you've got sin, it ain't going to happen. You've got a hard heart, you need to repent and be forgiven. And if you're a non-believer, you need to turn to the Lord and beg for mercy, Lord, save me. So then, notice there's a second group of people. Go back now down to verse 5, and he says here, and others fell on rocky places, speaking about the seed that was sown. This is the parable back in 13, verse 5, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. This is a simple parable analogy. The seed went on a place that was rocky. You know, if you try to plant something in rocky soil, there's not much depth. You know, it can get in between the cracks, so it can get slightly down in there a little bit, right? But there's no soil, there's no depth of that, as we're going to see. And it will come up real quick, and boom, the sun shines, and it's dead, right? And then notice what he says here. We have not much depth, it's not much soil. And then look at his explanation in verse 20 of chapter 13. And the one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word. That's key. Everyone's hearing it. Even the guy before was hearing it. Hearing the word. Now, it's not some fake, phony gospel in these churches these days. You know, this is the true gospel. This is the saving gospel of Christ, okay? Hears the word. And notice what it says. And immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no firm root in himself. Notice those words. But only temporary, as we're going to see. This word literally means for the occasion. Think about that. We think temporary, okay, for the occasion. This gospel is simply for the occasion. That's all it is to this person, as we're going to see. And that kind of heart is like the one on stony ground. That's what he says here. temporary, and when affliction and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. So here there is someone who apparently receives the word, apparently believes the word, rejoices, so happy about it, but he only received it for the occasion. He didn't receive it for his life, for his eternal salvation. He received it for the occasion. There's a lot of people like that. Hey, you know, their lives are messed up, and everyone says Jesus will fix your life, and they go, okay, that's what I want. And they hear it, and they say, oh, yes, I confess my sins, whatever they want, they say that. But it is not because they need to be eternally saved, as we're going to see. And they rejoice. They rejoice in it, but they don't have a genuine faith. You see, they believe, but they don't believe. You say, how can you say that? Well, they come to an external acceptance of the facts of the gospel, and they even rejoice over it immediately, for the moment. But the ground of their heart, because they have not repented, is shallow, and they don't understand because they're not willing ultimately to obey. And that's shown when the trouble comes, because when trouble comes, our response is to be obedience. Their response is, I'm out of here. Forget it, right? Remember what Jesus said? He said, basically in chapter 7 of John, that those who want to do his will or obey, they're going to hear the word. They're going to hear it. So here we have this one who hears it, rejoices, has a faith like we see in James. A faith that doesn't work. A faith that is not a saving faith. It ascends to the truth of the gospel, would repeat it back to you that way. But it has not penetrated the heart because it is only for the occasion. It is surface. And then you see what happens when the difficulties come, when the troubles come for the word, by the way, they immediately, as we see, fall away because it was only temporary or for the occasion only. I like that translation. That is much more helpful to me here. It is for the occasion only. Has no root in himself. And so it's not a genuine saving faith. And we know that because if we keep reading, when affliction or persecution arises, this is the end of the verse here, because of the word, immediately he falls away. It's a temporary bogus faith for the occasion. It works for the occasion. Hey, it works pretty good. I like this Jesus. Working good for me. Oh, but then when there's a call to actually obey and it becomes difficult, it's not rooted in a real faith, and it just goes right away. We see that, and it falls away. The word here, fall away, is from the Greek word skandalon. This referred to a stick which was put on a bait trap, which was placed, and someone would come by, and that trap would impede them with something that traps them and impedes them and stumbles them. Immediately, they stumble. Now, it's interesting. Luke gives us some insight into here why they translate it fall away here in Matthew. Look at Luke chapter 8, verse 13. And those on rocky soil are those when they hear and receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root, they believe for a while. Okay, it works to believe. The faith in Jesus is a working thing for the occasion. And in time of temptation, fall away. The term here, fall away, is aphistemi, which is very close to where we get our word apostasy from. It means basically to turn away from Christ, to turn away from him. When one apostatizes, it is an evidence they never truly came to faith. They had an external faith or something that looked as though it was faith, but they turn away. It's apostasy. And so here, this is the danger. This is the danger of a Jesus for this world only. And Paul told us if Jesus is for this life only, we are of all men to be pitied. And so we have a gospel out there that feeds into this, but this is speaking of a genuine gospel, but someone who is hearing it and applies it only so deep as though it will just work for them for the occasion. That's really what it's about. And they're going to fall away, and we see that. And it's interesting because we're going to see the first outright guy rejects, right, the first soil. The second to appear to be saved, one will fall away. One will stay in, as we'll see in a moment, even though they're not saved. So then we have apostasy. We have accounts of apostasy in Scripture. We have it in Hebrews chapter 6. we have, and I don't have time to read these passages. You can go there. In 1 John, it talks about they were of us, but they're really not of us because they left us. You know, you can tell. That's how you know they're not of us. They apostatized. So then, if you are like this, if you have an external, superficial faith, you've rejoiced, but your heart has not been changed, you have not humbled yourself and truly acknowledged your sin and your need for an eternal Savior, a Savior that saves you from eternal damnation, not just for now, you are in terrible danger. Pray that God would be merciful upon you before you apostatize, because there's Hebrews 6, there's no turning back. There's no turning back. When you leave Jesus, the only way to be saved, and I'm not saying you came to him, but you know about him, you leave that, there is no other way to be saved. It's very, very serious. So I beg you on behalf of Christ, let him break up the stony ground. Let him clear that out. Humble yourself and confess your sin. Confess your sin. You see, repentance clears the way for the gospel. It clears the way for you recognize you're sinful, but that doesn't save you. You need a savior from your sin. So then we see that there are those that have a hardened heart, which reject the word immediately. There are those who receive it superficially and joyfully, but fall away immediately when things become difficult, temptation, trials for Jesus. And then notice we have the third, and I think the most dangerous of all here. Look back in verse 7 for the actual parable, and then we'll move up to the explanation. And others fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. Simple analogy. Seed fell upon thorns, and the thorns choked out the seed, choked it out. Simple analogy. And then look at what Jesus says, and notice what he says here in verse 22. And the one from whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word. Now, this is about salvation. Remember that. This is about salvation. Okay? Chokes the word. And notice what it says. And it becomes unfruitful. Or literally, this phrase, it is continually, habitually unfruitful. As if it never had fruit, and it doesn't have any, and it still won't have any. Continually, habitually unfruitful. Some say this is a believer. I disagree. I think the NASB doesn't do a good translation here. It's continually without fruit. And there's so many passages that speak of the reality of there needs to be fruit if you've truly been saved. We'll look at those in a moment. So he says here, and notice the one that does bring forth fruit. Look down a little farther at verse 23. And the one whom seed is sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. We're going to see that those who have a faith that is like this here, that is choked out, it's in the thorns. It's a faith that is really cultivated in the context of the things of the world. And they think they're saved, as we're going to see. But we're going to see that chokes it out, and they're not saved, and they never produce any fruit.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, what would you say to anyone who finds themselves identifying with any of these first three responses?
Well, Dave, I'd say, first of all, praise the Lord, you're beginning to see yourself rightly. That's the first step. You see, there needs to be conviction and then confession of sin, trusting in Jesus for forgiveness of that sin. So then, if this is you today, I beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Turn to Jesus Christ now.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.